Welcome to the Jesus Week Movement radio show, your weekly deep dive into the stories and strategies behind citywide transformation. This is not just another radio show or a podcast. It's a frontline report on what God is doing through His people in some of the most desperate and challenged places in our communities. And we are continuing the discussion on saturation to transformation strategies and movements, and we want to further develop this idea of the Acts 1:8 blueprint. Pastor David, you are back again, and we want to continue this. Remind us, how does the Judea plan fit into this Acts 1:8 blueprint?
Sure. So we kind of look at Acts 1:8 as the blueprint for building the new covenant temple in our cities. And because it begins with, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. That's the glory of God filling the temple. But then the commission for us to reach our Jerusalem, our Judea, our Samaria, and the ends of the earth, it's the placement of living stones. It's about how living stones begin to fill nations and cities. And throughout history, missionaries have used that template. As soon as the gospel moved out of Jerusalem, out of Israel, they begin to see this is a strategic way to reach our cities. So wherever the gospel is spread, often missionaries have contextualized Acts 1:8 for reaching the city. So in New York City, we began to say, wow, what would our Jerusalem be? And so we said, wow, wouldn't it be amazing if every single one of the several thousand churches in New York City adopted their neighborhoods as their Jerusalem? We did the math, right, Mick? We realized that if 1,500 churches alone adopted 2,000 homes around them, then there would be no sheep without a shepherd in New York City. We would cover every home in New York City with the knowledge of Jesus. That's an extraordinary collective impact, a reality. And then we said, well, what if the churches, these couple hundred or a couple thousand churches, started to all adopt their local schools as their Judea? Because when you affect the schools, you affect the whole region, just like Judea was the region. And then we moved on to public housing as our Samarias and ethnic groups as their ends of the earth within our city. So we're narrowing in on Judea today, the adoption of local schools. And we recently spoke about the power of helping elementary school children read at grade level. And that changes their life forever. But recently, we started a new initiative called the Ambassadors of Peace Initiative that we're rolling out in our local middle schools, which we're very excited about.
So give us a definition. What is this Ambassadors of Peace program?
So the dream scene for the Ambassadors of Peace program is that we would be able to come alongside and mentor young people in the middle schools to be peacemakers among their peers, and equip them to not only be peacemakers, but to really be those that lift up their peers in struggle. So we're training them with all sorts of resources on how they can help their peers, for instance, that are in desperate economic situations. Like we'll be talking about Care Portal pretty soon, but we're training all of our kids to say, if you have a friend in crisis, you can come to us or your school social worker and let them know, I need one of my friends' families to be uploaded into the Care Portal because they really need help right now. They have no bed to sleep in. They have no winter coats to wear this winter. So we're training them to be ambassadors of hope and peace in their own schools.
So help us understand the problem that this is trying to solve.
We've been working on something called a continuum of care, something that local churches can be good shepherds to the children in schools in our borough. And the reason we call it continuum of care is that elementary school has its own challenges and crises, and we try to help the children with the illiteracy challenges in elementary school. But in middle school, often the challenges double and the resources and the support systems are cut in half. So we found that middle school is one of the places of the greatest need for the students of our city. They're going through a million changes, physiologically. The world is changing around them. Often their parents are not at a good place, like they're past that kind of honeymoon, young family stage. And so things are falling apart for them. And in middle school, it's a really vulnerable time. So we were really concerned about coming alongside them during these years. But recently, the pandemic has sent this already very difficult time into high crisis mode, because all of our middle schoolers were in elementary school during the pandemic. So especially we often work with families in deep poverty and in difficult situations. And children that came from under-resourced communities experienced six times the educational loss as the general population during the pandemic. So these middle schoolers are probably the highest crisis subset of students in our city, maybe in the last 100 years. So it's a crisis, and we're seeing an incredible uptick in violence in middle schools lately, and it's much due to the drop-off of care that they received during the pandemic.
And tell me about the kids who are selected to enter into this program. How many children are involved, and how do you select them?
So it's a pilot program. Right now we're in three schools. It's a borough president's initiative, and we took it to a startup level of seven children chosen from every grade level. So seven from sixth, seventh from seventh, and seven from eighth grade that come in. We mentor them, especially the sixth and seventh graders. We help them with their personal mental health, and then also we train them to be peacemakers in this school. And then with the eighth graders, we're training them, we're helping them with high school preparation and with just kind of giving them better future preparedness thoughts for their advancement. So we're even bringing in some virtual enterprise programs for financial literacy. So there's a lot of real fantastic enrichment that we've been able to bring into their lives, and we're just getting our game on.
Now, you mentioned training, so there's a lot of training going on, which means you have to have trainers. So I would imagine that the heart of this program has to be your ambassador mentors.
Absolutely.
And you've got three of them that you brought in today as special guests. So welcome to the show, everyone. And we're going to introduce all of you. And let's start right here with Bishop Laverne Owens-Larkins. Thank you so much for being here. You are the executive pastor of Mount Sinai United Christian Church. So tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got involved.
Well, thank you so much, Mick. First of all, I was part of the literacy program in the elementary school under Pastor Dave and some of his assistants. And some of the things that I heard those children say in elementary school, words that as an adult you would never say. And they knew it was wrong, but they didn't have anybody to push them. You know, even when I would say to a second grader, that's wrong, and they would tell me, no, it's not wrong, because my mother told me to say it. And I thought, when Dave asked me to come to the intermediate school, I said, these elementary school children are coming into the intermediate schools and they're bringing this kind of behavior. And so when he asked me to come into the intermediate, I humbly obliged, got the training from his staff, and I'm glad I did. The children that we have, one of my partners and I have the sixth graders. And they're coming out of elementary school, so they want to be grown, but they don't know how. So we began to mentor them and let them speak. What I found with the sixth graders was nobody, they would say, nobody listens to me. That meant at home, at school, you know, that kind of thing. And if you don't mind my saying, it was very difficult to get into IS-61, because sometimes you have a principal who, you know, maybe, well, the church folk don't need to be in here. But I just went into his office one day, and he saw me, and he was shaking his head, yes. He loves the program. He said last week, I am so proud of you sixth graders. So they have come a long way. in this Ambassadors of Peace program.
And you are located in Staten Island.
Yes, correct? I am.
Okay.
Yes, I am.
And also we have Pastor Chris, who is with the TWCC Church. Pastor Chris, thank you for coming in. Tell us a little bit about you, your church, and how you got involved in this program. And what specifically do you love so much about being involved?
Well, I'm Pastor Chris, and I'm an outreach minister in my community. We have so much to do in our community, especially with our youth. We have a lot of incidents in our community where we have fighting and bickering. We need our community to come together. And what a wonderful way of getting involved in the schools to set goals and principles that our kids can learn about respect, being reliable and having integrity, and learning how to communicate. If we can get those three principles in place, I believe change will happen as fast as we want them to happen if we have the principles that I just spoke about. And I got involved in this program because those are the principles of Christ, being reliable, being respectful, having integrity. And if we can transform that into the schools, I believe that our students will learn better. They will be able to communicate better. Schools will have more peace in their sessions, during the classrooms and in the auditoriums. So that is the principle that I'm founded on in my church.
Pastor Angela Pierce Kelly, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
You are also involved. You are a youth pastor at Mount Sinai Christian Church in Staten Island as well. So you have, yes, a heart for youth. That's
absolutely
your thing.
That is truly a passion of mine. I love the youth. I love to see them succeed. I love to see them excel. And I love being a part of that, helping them to do these things. And I came to this program because I believe in it. I believe at that particular age, they need a lot of guidance. Mm. They need a lot of people being concerned about them, and they need to know that they can trust someone.
Pastor David, they need to know that they can trust someone, mm-hmm, right? So that was very well said. And so your ambassador mentors need to be the most important thing in their lives at that moment where they feel safe, mm-hmm, and they feel seen and they feel trusted. Let me ask you, what is it that you're trying to produce in these children? What's your ultimate goal with this program?
The ultimate goal is they would radiate like stars in the universe. You know, the Bible says that we would be like stars in the universe. So we want them to shine and radiate and flourish and live their lives to the fullest and not be hindered and entangled by some of the traps. There's so many traps set for our middle school kids. There's like a million set around them. So we're trying to give them we're inside the school. We can't be very preachy, but there are so many biblical principles that we were able to share to help them to navigate life in this very precarious time. And just having, you know, men and women of God in their lives that love them. After only 4 months, we're seeing the tenderness of relationship so strong in all of these clubs. It's been transformational to see it take place. So we're seeing extraordinary things happen already in this initiative.
Who can get involved to become an ambassador?
So right now, again, it's a pilot program that we're very excited about, but we just had our big meeting where we brought about 90 of the kids that are involved in the program to the borough president's building office. And there they were in the conference room there, and they presented to him and shared. And it was wild because one of the ambassadors of peace, one of the eighth graders, looked him straight in the eye and said, "Borough President Fisella, I would love to see the ambassadors." He said, "I proposed that the Ambassadors of Peace initiative is expanded to every middle school and high school in Staten Island." And the borough president agreed and said, "We're going to see that happens." So we're ready to expand out. We will probably be able to bring a few more children. There's a balance there, how many kids you can have in a class and have a meaningful connectivity. So we're trying to figure out some of those things, but we need more volunteers. volunteers, more faith-based volunteers to help us to really be mentors and good shepherds to these young people. They're really at the precipice. Which way they go, there aren't many people giving them good direction right now. Sadly, some of these kids are being raised by TikTok. Some of them are being raised by peers, and some of them just are getting washed away by some of the cultural movements. But we have an opportunity. We're seeing that they listen when we speak truth and love to them, and they're being changed. So it's an exciting time.
Bishop Larkin.
Yes.
You and I have spent a lot of time together out on the streets during the summers and then team building through the Jesus Week movement over the years. And I just really love your heart on how you really do care about the people in your community, the prayer walks that you do, the investment that you make into people. And I want to ask you, this is another investment of your time into these children. One more opportunity for you to invest in lives, precious lives, creatively. Why do you do what you do?
My. I do what I do because I know that these young people can change. When I first went into this program and the sixth graders, there was a young man who said, "Nobody loves me." Mm. He wouldn't eat. He wouldn't talk. He wouldn't take water. I said, "You know what?" I said, "If I go out to my car and get something special for you," I had cookies in the car. And that was the first time when I came back and gave it to him, that was the first time that he had spoken in that program. And I said, and I know what we can do. And this is what we want to see out of this program. And now he expresses his feelings every time we go into the class. And that just does my heart. And he's not the only one. Pastor Dave talks about, you know, this is not churchy. This is not, you know, we don't speak God. I don't have to because the children do it, you know. They say, "I'm so humble since I've gotten in this program," you know. And as one young lady was saying, "I'm humble and I really love God." And the other students, these are sixth graders now, the students said, "Preach it, sister, preach it, sister." I didn't do it to them, but they are so glad to have us there. Mm-hmm. And of course, you know, in the school, but we also are doing the same thing on the street. The children, the adults, they love us. But the intermediate school, that's the school where they want to be grown, but they don't know how. Mm-hmm. And we want to prepare them for high school.
Now, we've just heard a little bit about how this affects you, Bishop Laverne, how it affects the ambassador. Pastor Chris, you've worked with these kids. I want to know about the bond that goes in between the ambassador and the student. What takes place during that time throughout the year between the ambassadors and the student, and specifically some of your own experience with these students?
Well, I think the relationship between mentor and mentoree is that they learn that, first of all, they don't know it all. And we bring a wisdom to the younger generation. And they learn that older folks can be more hip and they can find themselves embracing new ideals in their old way. The Bible is not a strange element. It is a living epistle. And they are learning how to use the examples of the Bible to share their needs and their concerns. And they are facing a Herculean society that is going against them. Learn how to embrace the goodness of Christ, and not only the goodness of Christ, but learning how to walk in a respectful way, how to use language, how to communicate, how to use their examples that they learn. And one of the Bible verses that come to mind about this program is, "Do unto others as you would have someone do unto you." And they're learning that scripture doesn't mean if someone hits you, hit them back. How would you want to be treated in a situation that is affecting your livelihood? One student told me, said, "I come to this program because it is a safe place." And not a lot of students have a safe place to go to. So that's how we communicate with each other, being in a safe place. And I thought that was wonderful when he said that I'm in a safe place.
Mm. Pastor Angela, what about when the child takes this change home with them? What do you think happens when this change reaches the families? How do you think this helps change what's going on inside the homes who are experiencing challenges?
I think it's a wonderful program, and it does help, and it does make a difference in the home. We had a seventh grader who had an issue with her little cousin. She couldn't even study, and I began to tell her how to deal with him and how to tell her mom that the cousin was disturbing her peace. And her taking it home has made a huge difference in how she deals with her little cousin and how her mother deals with her little cousin and how she's able now to continue to do her homework.
So we're almost out of time. This has really gone by fast, but this has been an incredible conversation. I'm going to give Pastor David the last word, but we do this in every show. Bishop Laverne, is there any one last thought, any burning thing that you want the audience to know about what we've talked about?
Yes. One of the sixth graders said to me a couple of weeks ago, I wish that we had had this program before. And she said to me, next year, I want to be able to train the sixth graders who are coming in. And so that says to me, the program is working.
Pastor Chris.
I think this program is a light in darkness. Sometimes we tend to think that this generation is Generation X. But I say this is a generation of light. And as we show them their light, let it shine.
Mm-hmm. I just like to leave with you that the program works. We've seen it worked. As a result of this program, one of the young ladies was able to mediate and stop a fight, even in her own school. And she's just excited that she's able to do that. She's writing a little notebook that she carries with her about mediation. Mm-hmm. So I'm proud that the program is actually in place and see that it is working.
Pastor David, what is the one thing that you really want people to understand about today's topic?
That there is an opportunity in our middle schools to make such an immense difference in the lives of young people who are between choices of which way they're going to go. And again, we need the saints, the people of God throughout our city, to stop thinking that everything is hopeless, because when we stepped in there, we weren't sure how it was going to turn out. It was, some of us, it's the first time we're with junior high school kids in a long time, and it was challenging at first, but we're seeing incredible transformation in their lives, and they are transforming the lives of their friends. And the principals are in awe at what's going on. I want the people of God to understand the power of the Spirit of God within them to change everything, and they just have to let their light shine. We haven't been letting our light shine, and so if you say, hey, I'd love to be involved in this, this is going to open up, I believe, way beyond Staten Island into multiple schools throughout our city. If you're interested, this is an open door that God is giving us to go into the middle schools. You know, we often choose the NYCHA adjacent middle schools, the public housing adjacent middle schools, because they're at the place of highest crisis and highest need. But where the darkness is greatest, the light shines brightest, and that's what we're seeing. The light is shining so brightly, it's exciting. And so please, yeah, get involved. You know, there's so much more to say about it. We would love to unpack, but connect with us at urbanhopenyc.org or jesusweekmovement.org. God is giving us our city if we will take it. The city has been given to us in every way, neighborhoods, schools, public housing, the multiple ethnic groups through our city. God is giving us the city if we would take it. So God bless you, and thank you for tuning in with us today for our Jesus Week Movement radio broadcast. God bless you.